The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Good evening. As we approach Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, I guess there becomes an extra measure of concern, not only for our own well-being and futures, what the year will bring, but for that of our children as well. And maybe even an extra measure of concern about losing any opportunities that might exist in this time that is so appropriate to inspiration and connection to Hashem and tshuva, any opportunities that we might have to enhance the ruchnius, the spiritual development of our children, beyond that which is the norm in their lives. And for some, we may even be focused on the rebelliousness that exists in many, on some level, maybe in very many, in our children, in terms of the lack of total willingness to accept upon themselves the directives of Torah, the guidance of their parents in the ways of Yahadus, and a resistance that they might have. So any message or any insight which might be helpful in this area would probably be well taken and put to some very good use. And there's, I think, a very profound lesson to be found in the Sipurnu at the end of Parshas Kisavoy. There the Torah makes a statement of Eloi nosan Hashem lochem lev lo das ve'naim lirois ve'naim lishmoya adayim hazeh. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Klal Yisrael that Hashem hasn't given you the heart to know, to understand Hashem, the ability to hear, to see, until this very day. You've been, in a certain sense, spiritually handicapped. You haven't reached the height of insight, spiritual insight, understanding of Hashem, knowledge of Hashem, lev lo das es Hashem, until this day. And then the Torah goes on to explain what happened until this day. And it describes the 40 years in the Midbar, where the clothing grew with them, didn't soil. There was no need for new clothing, no need for the mundane activities of normal living. Food and drink was provided for them daily, miraculously. Lechem lo achaltem, mayim v'sheicho lo shasisem. Everything was mon min hashamayim, miraculous be'er, the well springing up in the middle of a midbar, in the middle of a desert. And you lived 40 years like this. And at that point, at this point, after 40 years of this miraculous living in the desert, you now have the ability to understand and to recognize Hashem. And the Sipurnu explains, Afal pi shehu yisale hishtale b'toyroisov umoivsov loses lochem lev lodas. Even though Hashem tried, he put in great effort through his Torah that he taught you and the miracles that he gave you and that you experienced to give you that ability to see, that lev, that heart to be willing and be able to see. It didn't work. Because of the extent of your rebelliousness, you didn't achieve the goal. You couldn't get to the level of understanding Hashem properly because of your rebelliousness. Now we know when we speak about the Dor Deo, the Dor Hamidbor, the greatest giants of all generation, we're certainly not speaking about rebelliousness in the classical or in the modern sense, but on their lofty level of spiritual greatness, there was something amiss. And because of that mashuhu, that ever so slight thing similar to rebelliousness, they weren't able to understand, to recognize Hashem. And even though Hashem tried so hard, Torah, teaching them Torah, giving them so much Torah, showing them such miracles, didn't work. Until this day. So then the Sepurim explains, what is the difference 40 years later? Now that you've seen the multitude of Hashem's kindness with you in the desert, the 40 years in the desert, and now the second point is that he brought you into part of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Sichon Ve'Uig, Evel HaYarden, that you can fulfill the purpose of the mitzvahs by being in Eretz Yisrael, being able to fulfill the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. Now you have the ability to give yourself a Lev L'Das, to awaken yourself to understand Hashem if you so choose. And it seems very strange. They had so much. They had the greatest miracles in Mitzrayim. They had the greatest miracles on the Yam Suf when they crossed the Yam. Imagine crossing on dry land and watching right next to you your enemy drowning, bobbling up and down in the water. It's dry, it's wet, it's dry, it's wet. Miracles. Nisim Gluyim. Zekeli Van Behu. What a Shifcha saw on the Yam Suf. The great Yechezkel HaNovi didn't see in his greatest of Nevuas. And you came to Har Sinai. And you heard HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak. Onoichi Hashem Elokecho. Lo yeh Elocho Elohim Acherim Al Ponai. Directly communicating Hashem directly to us. In front of millions of people. And all of this wasn't enough. The rebelliousness, the seeds, the ever so slight seeds of rebelliousness that you had within you didn't allow you to open up your heart to really be able to understand and appreciate Hashem. What did it? After you saw the multitude of His kindness, which was, as the Pasuk says, you had the mon min hashamayim, you had the be'er, your clothing didn't soil and grew with you. Ah, we had this. Now all of a sudden we have the ability to find that Lev L'Das. That coupled with the fact that we have the beginnings of Eretz Yisrael, so we can put all of these mitzvahs into L'maisa. It seems that despite the powerful influence that we might have, Hashem's influence in teaching His Torah, the greatest of miracles, Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kriyas Yamsuf, Maimon Har Sinai, it's not enough. If there's rebelliousness, when a person has that feeling of, I can't take the pressure, it's too much, I don't want it, Maimon Har Sinai is too difficult, the obligation's too overwhelming, then all of the miracles and all of the teachings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu don't compensate for it, the rebelliousness is there. What does compensate for it? Well, I see over 40 years how every day I woke up in the morning, I didn't have what to eat. I opened up my door and I find the mon on my doorstep. I had this miraculous well that floated around through the midbar and he sustained me every single day. I wore the same suit of clothing. It always felt fresh. It always felt clean. It always felt the right size, the right fit. 40 years, miraculously living. Chesed Hashem consistently, personally to me. Ah, now I have the ability to overpower that rebelliousness. Now all of a sudden, the pressure of everything that I have to do does not evoke so much rebelliousness, but rather the willingness to look in the Lev L'Das. It seems that what's critical for us and for our children is to appreciate Hashem's personal Hashgocha Protis, personal Chesed to us. If we wish to counter rebelliousness, any measure of rebelliousness in our children, it is not going to be by the overabundance of teachings alone. Even if we're eloquent teachers, the Bnei Olam was the most eloquent of teacher, and he was Mishtadil B'Teroisov, he tried. And it's not even going to be by the view of Jewish history with all of its miracles that happened to Klal Yisrael, Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf and everything, all of this greatness, even though there was so much chesed in it, we say, Goyzer Yamsuf L'Gzorim Kila Olam Chastoy L'Maki Mitzrayim B'Vcharim Kila Olam Chastoy, these were expressions of Hashem's endless and eternal kindness. But it has to be personal. It's to me. 40 years in the Midbar. I miraculously drank. I miraculously ate. My clothing miraculously sustained not the need for anything new, for any change. It's this personal touch. It's this personal connection with the Rabbeinu Shalom on an ongoing basis, taking care of my own personal needs, material needs. It's that forges such a positive feeling that now all of a sudden I don't want to rebel anymore. I want to give titnu lev mikan v'halo, titnu lev lodas. Now you're going to focus your heart to understand, to come closer, to appreciate Hashem. And I think at a time like this, we're really looking for ways of undermining any desire to rebel. We as adults have it, and this is the season of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shomayim to counter any rebelliousness. And our children certainly have it. They have it in the early stages of life against us, and that transposes in the later stages of life sometimes against Hashem. And the pressures that they feel for the extent of observance and the intensity of observance and how much they have to do and how much we expect of them and how demanding we are and meticulous in the performance that we're looking for. It creates a great pressure, and sometimes that pressure creates a desire to rebel. And the desire to rebel, it would seem, can't be lectured out of our children. The desire to rebel can't even be shown to them. The greatest miracles, the greatest, most powerful indicators of Hashem's control over nature and history, and even the recognition of everything He's done to our forefathers, to our ancestors, to our people. It has to be personal. They have to see the Hashgacha in their lives. We have to make their lives pleasurable for them. We have to take care of their basic needs. And we have to show them that associated with a life of Torah and Yerushalayim and mitzvahs is a life of the satisfaction of our personal needs. Hashem's Hashgacha with us. He takes care of everything, every minute detail. They have to say the brochas in the morning, the birchas hashachar, with a sense of feeling appreciation for the ability to go to the bathroom, appreciation for the ability to sit up on a bed, appreciation for the ability to stand, appreciation for the ability to walk and to talk, appreciation for having clothing, appreciation for waking up in the morning, for our neshamas being restored to us. And when we see on an ongoing basis, every day, year after year, 40 years in the Midbar, constant repetition on an ongoing basis of all of Hashem's personal involvement with our lives, this, more than anything else, will soften the desire to rebel and will inspire our children with a desire, Lodasis Hashem, to look and to search and to seek Hashem, and not to be motivated or affected or influenced by any feelings of overwhelming pressure leading to a certain measure of rebelliousness. I remember vividly an incident that took place many years ago when one of the local schools was sponsoring a contest. Someone had this idea that the school should sponsor a contest of the best personal or familial story of Hashgacha Protis. And the first prize was $100. And I remember to this day the young man who won the prize, and I remember the profound influence that this story had on his personal life and his personal connection to Torah and mitzvahs. And it was a story that happened to his family. And the fact that it was personal, that he felt Hashem's involvement in his own life, in his being here, in his family's life, this had such a positive influence on him that rather than a desire to buck the system and the pressure and rebel, was that desire to come closer and knowing Hashem. And the story was that as the Nazis were about to invade Budapest towards the end of the war, so this family there had to make a decision whether to go into hiding or whether to travel, try to get out of the country. They decided that they were going to travel and try to get out of the country. They got on a train. They had passports. They had the money. but they didn't have transit visas, which meant that as they get to the border, and the border guards are going to check whether they are authorized to go into the next country, they're going to be turned back. But they took the chance. They had no choice. They felt it was the best option. And they're on the train on the way out of Hungary. Everything was fine until the train comes into the border, and the doors open, and the border guards are coming in to check everyone's papers. They're walking through the train, the compartment, the car. As they come to this compartment where this family was sitting, all of a sudden, an old man with a long white beard sits down next to them. The border guard comes by. The old man takes out papers, shows it to the guard. The guard looks at the papers. The guard looks at the family, the parents and the children. He gives the old man back his papers. He walks on to the next compartment. The old man disappears, and the family is all here to tell the story today. This, the personal aspect, the fact that his life, he's alive, this young man today, because his grandparents, this happened to, including his father, was one of the children. And the personal connection of Hashem's love and Hashem's involvement and Hashem's hashgocha protis, not just in the global sense, in the communal sense, in the survival of Klal Yisrael, as Rabbi Yankov Emden says in his Hakdoma to his Siddur, he swears by his life that the miracles that surround the survival of Torah and Klal Yisrael with its Torah throughout the millennia are greater than the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Yes, but in terms of the rebelliousness that we might have, or that our children might have, the most powerful tool is this sense of Hashem's personal involvement in our lives. If we can show our children how to make a brocha and express and feel. The Kuzri says that the reason the Chachomim instituted the Birchas Hanenin was that we should enhance our pleasure. We should enjoy the fruit more. This is a gift from Hashem. And to feel that, and to feel that that's what our life is made of. And all of the pleasures of life, we make a brocha to recognize that it all comes from Hashem. This recognition of all the good that He showers upon us, this can make the difference in one who has seeds of rebellion and feels overwhelmed with the pressure of Torah and mitzvahs, or one who feels that closeness to Hashem and that appreciation of His hashgocha, that His titnu lev lodas, He wants to just focus and to develop in his heart an understanding and a closeness to Hashem. The Sepurna also has another nekuda, and that, he says, is that you're coming into Eretz Yisrael now, and you'll be able, shetuchlu lekayim bohem amachuvin. You'll be able to fulfill the purpose. It sounds like that another factor in the rebellion of our children, in the rebellion, the ever so slight expression of rebellion that existed in the Dor Deo, has to do with the fact also, besides the lack of personal hashgocha protis until after the 40 years, but also we have mitzvahs. We have Torah, we have mitzvahs, but we're not in Eretz Yisrael yet. It's not complete. We can't lekayim bohem hamachuvin. The intended purpose for all of these mitzvahs cannot be fulfilled yet. And there's a certain frustration, whatever the exact explanation is, that I can't fulfill the purpose yet. I cannot do it. I can't. It's not happening. It's theoretical, not lamaisa. And now that it's lamaisa, that they've got Eretz Sicha Ve'oig, now already, yesh lechem lev lo das. That's the day when they have lev lo das, the ability to titnu lev lo das is Hashem. I think another very critical nekuda in dealing with our children is the development of inspiring the realization in them that they can in fact do it, that it's lemaisa. We're not talking about expectations that are beyond them. We're not talking about theoretical. We're not talking about long-range hopes that maybe someday you will achieve. But we're also talking about tachlis. You can do it. It's lemaisa. You can do it. Showing them that we believe in them, in their power to do, can sometimes, oftentimes, be the greatest gift that we can give our children. when they seem overwhelmed with a life of Torah and mitzvahs, when they seem that so overwhelmed that there seem to be the indications and the expressions of rebellion, they're not willing to accept and to connect and continually commit themselves on an ongoing basis to the observance of Torah and mitzvahs, then sometimes what we have to show them is, you can do it. It's not as difficult as it looks. It's lemaisa. It's not just theoretical. This is not just a list of theoretical responsibilities. This is stuff that you can, you have the capability to implement this in your lives. We, your parents, believe in you. We know that you could do it. We know the qualities that you have. It's being done. You're doing it already. You think you haven't achieved? Look how much you've achieved. Look how far you've gotten. Don't underestimate your accomplishments. Don't underestimate your growth. Don't underestimate the greatness that has already been expressed in your lives. And this is very, very critical. I'll never forget with one young man who was in one of our programs who... very, very difficult. Very difficult young man. A real challenge. He was challenged, and he was challenging. And after about 6 months, he started to turn around. He's just a beautiful person. And I asked him, I said, what happened? Like, why? What? What was the turning point? And he looks at me and he says, you did it. And I says, I did it. I barely did anything for you. He says, no, you don't understand. You believed in me. You believed in me and you empowered me through that belief to succeed. Our children have to know that it's lemaisa, that they can do it, that they are doing it, not just they have the potential. You know, it's important to note our children don't like to hear about their potential, because when they hear about their potential, the innuendo is that, oh, you have great potential, but right now you're nothing. Right now you're nobody. Right now you're not accomplishing. No, you are. Your greatness, it's there. You're doing it. And we believe in you. And we will show you and underscore the results and the growth that has taken place. This is something that can truly empower our children. And sometimes the seeds of rebellion can be fanned and can be increased because they have this sense of overwhelming pressure and the lack of the ability to perform the lemaisa. They don't see it. They see it more as very nice. It's a goal. It's theoretical. It's a desire. It's a dream. It's not tachlis. But when they see that it's tachlis, I can do it, I'm doing it, that takes away any desire to rebel, because it gives me the ability to succeed at that which I know is so important. So in a season like this, when one of the goals of Rosh Hashanah is the Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, is that the recognition of Hashem V'chein Teim Pachtecho V'sim Loich Ato Hashem Levadecho. And when we say V'chein Teim Pachtecho and we say V'sim Loich Ato Hashem Levadecho, we should be thinking not just about the global cosmic issues, but ourselves and our family. The same thing, Pachtecho Aleinu Valboneinu Ubneisenu. The similar Chatu Hashem Levadecho Aleinu Valboneisenu Valboneinu Valbishpachteinu. We should have this feeling, and if we wish to inspire that feeling of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shomayim in our children, then the two ingredients that may be most critically important are this realization and the sense of Hashem's personal Hashgocha Protis, who deals with every moment and every detail and every aspect of our existence, and also this sense of the ability that we have to in fact fulfill and to accomplish that which we are set to accomplish. So I would suggest in these times, as we wish to uplift and inspire and guide our children to be Nisein Lev Lodasis Hashem, that rather than lecture and rather than guilt trips and rather than pachad to shake them up, but point out to them the Chesed Hashem. Find opportunities. Look back. Reminisce at the Yontif meals on this year and the great chasodim that Hashem did to us and to our family. And how these chasodim were not just isolated events, but they were part of an ongoing system of Hashem's chesed to help us. And let them realize that. Let them see that. Let them feel it. Let them relive it. Let them remind them of it. And this can have such an impact. And encourage them in how much you believe in them. Let them know that the accomplishments, first of all, set goals of accomplishments that are realistic. Because when part of what this lack of actualizing what Torah is all about comes from the fact that sometimes we feel the goals that we set are unrealistic, we don't accomplish. Set realistic goals and guide them to the fulfillment of those goals and inspire them and empower them that they, in fact, are capable. They have achieved much more. Most of our kids, when push comes to shove, you ask them, they feel they haven't achieved very much at all. They have achieved much more than they ever realized, and they can achieve infinitely more. And that empowerment, together with that sense of Hashem's Hashgocha, should be very, very effective in making this season one that is much more meaningful to them. And in conjunction with this, I think it's very important that we remind our children about the power and the effectiveness of tefillah. Some of our children don't really recognize how effective tefillah is. And, you know, sometimes when they're asking for something, and they want it now, and they don't see it that minute, so the message or the lesson they internalize is, no, it doesn't help. It might be helping the next day, the next week. On Rosh Hashanah, we have opportunities for tefillahs for a whole year. We have not instant gratification. We're really asking for more than that. We're really asking for an extended period of time to make it until the next year in every way, in ruchnius, in gashmius, in physical well-being, in our health, in our sustenance, in our parnos, and everything. And inspire them and show them that this tefillah is important. And Hashem does listen to tefillah. He's the Shemea tefillah. And the tefillahs that we utter now will, in fact, Bezus Hashem, with our confidence in Hashem and our trust in Hashem, and our heartfelt expression of tefillah will be answered during this year and will make a difference in our lives and in our futures. This is another lesson that our children have to see, and they have to see the fervent belief and confidence that we have in our tefillahs, and that would certainly be contagious to them and help them. So with the combination of these factors, we should be able to have a very positive influence in this season of change and season of renewal and season of growth and progress on the lives and the futures of our children.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-one.org. That's priority-1.org. Where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.